Okay, so and then moving on, number two, Mr. John D. Rademacher. This is his last Sunday as a pastor here. So, speaking of long-term investment and changes and shifts, this is a big one. And so I want to take some time to do this well, to honor well. So just give me a second. While you're giving me a second, you can get out your phones and go to menti.com, menti.com, if you have a phone. Menti.com. And it'll show up on the screen in a moment here. There you go. So you can see there, menti.com, and then just type in that code. And this is a chance. I've got some words here to say and some things, some kind of articulation of thanks and of I want to share a few things that I've learned from working with John for years now. The pleasure of working with John for these years. And but this is a way for you to say, hey, John, thanks for, and then put in whatever you want. So if you can't see that, the code, it's menti.com, and then you type in the code 143617. And as you type in responses, they'll pop up on there. And so, but we are wanting to honor, okay? So there's a profanity filter on this, okay? So just so you know. So if you type in anything like untowards, it'll put up a little squiggly thing there. You could, don't even test it. Just believe me, okay? You can tell him privately later. Yeah, exactly. So anyways, I want to take this time and spend a bit of time like honoring John and saying thank you for his considerable and I would say formidable contributions to WCV, to the fabric of WCV, and much of what he has brought to the table. And by the way, I know this might be a little distracting, but we're going to, you know, it'll just continue to be there and it'll scroll as people do that. And we're going to print it up and give it to John so he'll have, you know, he'll have all that stuff there. But much of what he has brought to the table really and truly, and I can say this honestly, has become part of the fabric of WCV. A lot of what he's brought to the table. So just think of the different areas that he's been involved in. Mercy Ministries, the drop-in, the farm, the board involvement, all the various building initiatives, like the one that we heard about last week, like the Kathmandu, that whole rebuild would not have happened were it not for John's initiative and God working through him and his gift of leadership and networking and tenacity. And I mean, even thinking about this building that we're in right here, right? Thinking about the three stages of Flatlanders, how it's all been developed. All of those kind of practical things, the creative and entrepreneurial spirit that has focused its energies on kingdom expansion. It's amazing. I remember when I first came here, so we came in 98. Church started in 95. I found this paper that was kind of floating around. I don't think it was really published super much, but it was kind of floating around. It was called The Ruin of a Capitalist. Anyone read that one? Yeah. Anyone like intrigued by that name? I was super intrigued and I read it and it was like, this was John's like his story about where he was coming from and what was kind of calling him into the kingdom. It was amazing. All these little monikers that were simple yet profound, like be Jesus, see Jesus. That was like, we still talk about that, but it's like these things that have been around us and have built us and called us into the kingdom, in particularly in the areas of mercy. Dovetailing corporate vision and private vision. Like this man is passionate about seeing people connected and owning the vision of the church. And so that was something like in our staff meetings, the dovetail of the corporate and the private and like the coming together. And so, but it's a beautiful, I think, a beautiful heart for seeing everyone engaged. Like we say, everyone gets to play, right? John, I think you've really tried to model that as best you can, but always like when there's ideas upcoming up in sort of the leadership team structure, he's like, So what are the handles here? Like, how can people like actually grab onto this and kind of get it into their lives? All those kind of things are awesome. Desire and drive to see each person own the mission and vision of WCV in the kingdom, to see people equipped. Here's a few things that I've learned from you, John. I want to tell you this, and I want to tell you this publicly. So I know a lot of us would kind of think of John as an action man, a man of action, right? Like, that kind of makes sense. Like John here sitting right now, but he wasn't sitting for most of the service, you know, like kind of all like doing stuff, like making stuff happen, right? Am I right? Okay. I think there's something actually there's something deeper than that. And I would name John, yes, a man of action, but I would name John a man of deep thought. And I think that comes underneath where the action comes from. Considering all the angles. Like, I know so much of the times where you have gone home and just thought about things and mulled things over and thought about it from this angle, or thought about this challenge from that angle, or from all the different angles. Just considering. And so I think it's really accurate to view you as a thoughtful man and a lifelong learner. That's something that I've, like, you're close to 80, man. You're, like, and you're still learning. Like 2 years ago, took the School of Spiritual Direction. That's a big deal, actually. Like incorporating new stuff, learning things, considering, gee, I might be wrong on this, and then actually shifting when he is wrong. Like, that's actually really amazing. And I want to honor you for that. That's something that I have been inspired by. Yeah, absolutely. And all the more if it's from the Lord. Like, if he feels like it's from the Lord, oh my goodness, tenacious and like holding on to it and letting that fuel him. I don't know if you know the Enneagram, but John and I, we're kind of polar opposites, but our numbers are right side by side, but we're in the gut triad. And I have seen this man, he has got a nose for things. I don't know if you kind of have experienced this, but if something's off, or if someone's not quite connected, or there's a nose that he has, a gut kind of intuition that seeing you trust your gut has kind of given me a sense of, I need to trust my gut too, and certainly because we're kind of in that same triad together. But it's been something that has been incredibly encouraging, actually, for me. It's called sniffing it out. Exactly. Yeah. Yeah. Exactly. In more ways than one. If there's, yeah. I didn't hear that, but it sounded funny. I would say also, that's the fan club. So I would say as well, a man of incredible generosity. And you might think with stuff and money, and that's true, but that's not really the heart of what I'm actually talking about. I'm talking about a generous spirit. I'm talking about giving people the benefit of the doubt to bless anybody, actually, even if he disagrees with them. And I've seen that time and time again, and mostly in backroom kind of settings. But that, I think, is a real gift, and I think it's actually a gift of the Lord to you. And I mean, your recent kind of catchphrase or whatever is, I can be objective, you know. Like, John just said that to me a couple days ago. I can be objective, and I absolutely agree. And I think it's that comes from that generous spirit to be able to step back and to kind of see, you know, a big picture. And of course, it operates in it, and it manifests itself in many different ways. Another thing I've learned is what it takes to be a really great leader. And a lot of your learning has happened, you know, outside of the church, like in the business world, which a lot of that translates. Some of it doesn't translate, but a lot of it does translate. So that's something that I've just been observing. And I would say lastly, and I'm going to invite a few leadership team people too. I think there's a few people that have prepared to just offer a few words as well. to, I think I've seen this kind of as a foundational thing, but you're, the way you hold family as a key priority in your life, and I mean obviously with your wife, but your broader like your biological family, and then also your spiritual family too, I think it's just really beautiful. And it's not something like kind of waving the flag, but it's like it's a priority, and I think it's something that is deeply beautiful and deeply powerful, actually. And so when we pray for you, we're kind of praying for the for your whole family too, and that it would kind of move out from there. If you're a part of the leadership team and you have prepared something, just come on up here, because I'm not exactly sure who wants to say something. But I do have a gift for you. Just come on up if you're, yeah, thanks, Lisa. And this, so this, you know, and I, so what to buy for John Rademacher? So I put out the word, and there was a few different ideas, and I talked to Violet, and she said, don't buy him like a picture or a photograph, and I was like, oh, okay. X off those ideas, because those were like, I was about to press buy, you know, on a few things. And she said, buy him a wireless Bluetooth speaker. So here you go, man. This is like a wireless, but it's not any wireless Bluetooth speaker. This is a Dr. Beats pill. I'm serious. Okay, you should come and open this. I want to, here you go. Because, you know, let the beat go on, and you can take a pill on the beach right there and keep learning. Keep your learning happening.
You kind of lost me here.
Oh, sorry. Yeah, you got to figure it out. It's in there. It is in there. I'm serious. I'm serious. This is like a nice little thing. It's super legit. Absolutely. Anyways. So Elisa, can you come and share what you have to share?
I wanted to give a little insight to John, because I had a chance to go to Nepal with John 18 years ago. And there were six of us that went. Kenny Laquette, who was part of that team. There was Teresa Trask, me, Cynthia Lees, John, and Joey Epen. And John doesn't know this, but the five of us got together and we were like, who's going to keep John in line? And I was the one that they voted who would like tag along John and go, John, no, shh, don't say that. John, yes, yeah, that's good, John, that's good. But what I actually saw during that time was a man that was very humbled and in awe of what God was doing over there. That was one of the few times I've seen John absolutely silent and weeping and joining in with what was happening there. And so when you hear John's passion about the Nepali vineyard, I really feel like that was one of the places where I saw it. And I feel very privileged that I had a chance to see that part. And so I want to thank you, John, because you have been a huge driving force for the Nepali vineyard, the Kathmandu piece, the Indian, the Himalayan vineyards. And that is a beautiful legacy. And I just feel like God's calling you to a place of rest. I just felt like Psalm 23, for you to sit with the shepherd and to rest. And I just want to say thank you for your faithfulness.
You know, it took me a little while. It didn't take very long, but it took a little while just to get used to that. And then I realized what she was really doing. And I, you know, I'm not going to say I don't take it from anybody else, but I really appreciated that, because I respect your wisdom, okay? And I mean, that's like how many years ago? I mean, it's been going on. You don't come there every time I go there, okay? So I've learned. I have learned from you folks here, for sure, way more than I learned in 35 years of business. And I'll tell you one thing. Being in leadership in a church is a lot more challenging than having 800 people working for you. All right? And the difference is, it doesn't matter, like, you're not the boss. I'm not the boss anymore. The church is the Lord is, and the church. So it took me a long time to get over that. It took me probably 5 years to get over that. But thanks for your encouragement and your words.
Yeah, great words spoken already. John's personal testimony of the amazing healing and prophetic calling on his life, if you have not heard that testimony, you need to hear that story. It is incredible how the Lord plucked him out and called him to sell a very successful multi-billion dollar business, sell it all, and go serve in the inner city of Winnipeg. That is a miracle God story that has touched my life, and I know many of you who know that story, that's touched your life. This example of giving it all to Jesus, going all in, is so inspiring and something that is a model for all of us. Talk about being sold out for Jesus. That is something that John has modeled for all of us. And again, if you don't know that story, you need to hear that story. I think, you know, we have seen John's work here and witnessing here locally, but I can also tell you that in terms of other echelons of, you know, business society and whatever, wherever he goes, I've heard him, he is telling people about the intervention of Jesus in his life, about touching his life, calling him into ministry, and he's sharing and witnessing with everybody. He is not ashamed to tell people about the saving power of Jesus Christ and how he can change your life. And this passion is just amazing and inspiring, and it's inspiring to all of us. I think, I mean, it goes, there's so much to say, but I mean, the word generosity was up on the screen so many times. You know, thank you for modeling generosity, and thank you for all your generosity. Hey, we want to have a men's retreat somewhere nice? I mean, talk about the nicest place you could ever have it. It's his cottage. He opens his doors. He goes all, he shares his stuff. He is not greedy. He is giving and generous, and we can all learn from that. I mean, his contributions to this church, I mean, they go back to the beginning, and he's given and given and given. And, you know, we just say, like, glory to God, and thank you for your faithfulness, for hearing him and serving him. And we've all, you know, benefited from that and learned from that, and we're all grateful to God for that. Yeah, I mean, wow, there's so much to say, but I think that Ruin of a Capitalist document needs a redo, John. I think you got to, you know, do an update version and share that story. It's, you know, super powerful. I'm going to let, you know, Ben come up. I'm going to let some other people speak. But, guys, we just are just grateful to the Lord for John and for everything that you've done here. And you're a model for us and a mentor. And, you know, we just give thanks to God for you.
And if you're sitting there and you don't have a phone and you're beside someone who does, then just tap their hand, and if you want to put something in, okay? So just if you have a phone, just lift it up, just offer it to someone, like not to give, but to use for this, okay? Just to make sure that everyone who wants to put up on the screen can.
So, yeah, there's so much to say about John, but I guess one of the things that has always blown me away about his contribution to the church is that a lot of people talk about passion for the poor, right? A lot of people talk about it. They talk about good ideas, but John has lived a life of integrity around that, which has inspired me and has been a model to our congregation. And when I say that, what I mean by that is, even when he was still running his business, before the church was even started, I remember John, because I knew him back then, he was so moved by the plight of the poor in Winnipeg, and Deborah, his daughter, my wife, was involved in Living Bible Explorers, and Deborah would come home and say, "Hey, Dad, like, can you help me out? I have these little girls in this kids club that I'm running who don't have any beds." And John was like, "Well, what do you mean they don't have any beds? Like, how is it possible children can live in Winnipeg and not have a bed to sleep in?" And so, you know, John would do things like he would go to the Simmons factory under the Disraeli Bridge and load up his truck full of beds and deliver them in Point Douglas to kids that don't have beds. And I just remember those stories about his passion and his willingness to actually do the work himself. Unlike a lot of people, John is willing to roll up his sleeves and do it himself. So he has an incredible work ethic and a willingness to serve. So thank you for that. Thank you for all your work on the board. I mean, you have no idea how much John does to support the church behind the scenes. And we would have been lost without you for all these years on the board. Your contribution is really important. So thanks very much. Who's next?
Well, I think there's so many words that have been said that I absolutely share with Cornelius and Ben. And it's funny, this little Bluetooth speaker here is actually a little bit of a gag gift, because John's not really technically oriented here. And coupled with his passion and intensity of anything, I can see interesting things happening when you try to connect that to your phone. So it's like, but you wish. There's probably someone's phone number on there in case you. But yeah, I echo everything that's been said so far. And being in business myself, you know, I know what it is like to give that up and follow a call. That is not easy. So, John, the epitome of someone who is in the world, but not of the world. And he is absolutely a mentor to me and to us. The faithfulness and obedience that he's continually just displayed, it's amazing. And when he talks about his journey, when he's shared in our midst, he's doing this in the most humble tone. And if you know what the things that he's given up and those little details in there, you'll be amazed. So you amaze me. And I think you will continue to do so. And I know you'll stay engaged in some way, but I echo also what Elisa is saying, is that you can start resting and trusting. And God will take care of things.
Thanks, guys. Yeah, actually, it starts tomorrow at 11 o'clock, Puerto Vallarta. I'll be on the beach at 1 after I get Violet out of dialysis. No, well, she's in dialysis. Anyway, I just want to tell you one thing. Let me see if this person is in the room here. Let me see, where are we here? Is Alice here? Where did Alice go? She was. Well, you know, this whole thing about the poor, when I started this, I'm going to choke up on this, but when I started this whole thing in 95 with David Roos and Anita and my wife, well, when we started it, it was, I said to the Lord, and by that time I had already gotten out of business, I was only out for 6 months, and I said, Lord, if I'm going to do anything in this church, there's only one deal I'm going to make with you. So I'm a deal maker, okay? And I do deals with the Lord too. And here was the deal. I want to see your miracle every day. So let me tell you about one miracle. So we're over on Selkirk in Maine, and Herb Peters and I are delivering hampers. And we take three hampers. We got three names. And I say to Harv, hey, Harv, go get another one, because I know there's going to be somebody that's going to pop up while we're doing this, and then we're going to be frustrated we don't have the extra hamper. So he brings another one out. So we've got four. Three names, four hampers. We're not out of the parking lot. And I get the name for the extra hamper before we even go to the other ones that we had the names for. And whose name was it? Alice Anderson. And she only lived about a block and a half away. So we were faster into that house than we knew. Walked in. Where is she? Alice, come. Come on. Anyway, so what happens is I go into the house, and I got this little, you know, I'm kind of got little strategies that for my own self. And what I do is I say, do you need food? And she says yes. And then I put it on the counter, and I open the door of the fridge. I'm putting the frozen stuff in the freezer. And guess what? There's nothing in the fridge. So yeah, it was okay, right? You remember this, don't you? So I say, blessing of Jesus, we're out of there. I'm down the walk. Not even at the car. She says, John, come here, I forgot something. I say, forgot something? Come here, I gotta give you something. So I go inside. Harv's already in the truck waiting for me. And she goes to her cupboard, opens up the door, pulls out an envelope. What did you say? She says, here's my tithe. That's a killer. We've had our ups and downs, eh? But you're in a good up now. Mm-hmm. So bless you, lady. You're one of the best teachers I ever had.
So I wasn't going to come and stand up, but I didn't want to miss the opportunity for this. John and I have done time on the board for about 15 years together. John, I have to say, your hair looks fantastic today. It looks awesome. I don't know, there's something different, but it looks beautiful. She did a great job. Our board meetings have, I'm not a business member, a business person. I'm more of a, I like to give people the business instead of be in business. John has shown me, like he's always thinking, there's always something going on for John. I think it's a good thing. But he's always shown me that he's open to correction, especially like in the whole spiritual realm. He has just been an example of allowing himself to be corrected and allowing, but without losing his passion for things, which is really amazing. Like you know, people can take correction in a different way and just decide to shut down, and that's not John. John keeps his passion for things. So, you know, sometimes our board meetings are a little bit like holding the reins, you know, so that, you know, to sort of rein John in a little bit. And I mean that in the nicest way possible. Because he's always, always, always trying to think of what we can do to make this a better place for the church, to make this a better place for all of parishioners. And there's, and sometimes there's kind of this, but I think we all cause that from time to time. So I just have been so blessed with your desire for purity and holiness for this church, for all who attend here, and for all that we come in contact with in the community and just outside in life. It's been a huge example for me, John. And I would say... 15 years on the board has not always been easy. But I wouldn't have traded my experiences with you for anything.
What hair? Hey, Steve, I just want to tell you one thing. You have been a model of being mellow. You're Mr. Mellow. And I've learned a lot from that. Like, if I need any encouragement to shut up, I just have to look at Steve, okay? And the last thing I'm going to say about what Andy said, one of the things, Andy likes giving me the gears for being ahead of the curve. But my hockey stick is only going to get more curvy. And there's somebody that said on there, you're going away, or sorry, you're going away. I'm going to tell you, I'm not going anywhere. I might be on a beach for 9 weeks, and I'll be on my rear end for the whole time. I'm not going on tours or nothing. I'm going for supper and the beach. And the bottom line is, I know that the Lord's going to keep me going here as long as He wants me to go, and I'm game for it. I'm going stronger today than I have any time last year. This week was the most intense week of my whole year for the church and the Lord.
There you go. So that little Dr. Beats by Dr. Dre, the beat goes on. And the little thing is called a pill, too. It's the shape, but it's also prophetic. Okay, never mind. We're not going there.
Not the kind you're talking about.
Yeah. Yeah, yeah. Just kidding. Okay. Let's just pray for John. And whoever wants to can come. And Holy Spirit, thank you for this man. Thank you for what you've done in him, what you've done through him, and what you will do in him and through him. And we just bless him now in the name of Jesus. Holy Spirit, fill him. Lead and guide. Encourage, comfort, correct.
I thank you, God, that for his health, Lord, that you said he was, someone said he was almost 80, Lord, and he looks like he's 50. So praise God. And I just want to thank you that I just know he has a heart for my family. He's just met me about 4 years ago, Lord Jesus, but I've known of him for like 20 years, stories of him, Lord Jesus, and I just thank you that he's touched my family in so many ways, and it just makes me feel like I'm his daughter. Yeah, I'm just thankful for him, and I just feel like you're a papa. You really are, and you're the right kind of papa. Papa that's not dysfunctional, but just speaks truth and wants to love his children and his sheep, and I just thank you for that. And of course, Papa can't stop loving and stop going, even if he's not going to be the pastor, he still has to be the Papa. So I just thank you that God has put that in your heart. He put a father heart in you, and I thank you that, Lord. And I thank you, really, really praise for the health, Lord, because he has to be there for Violet, Lord Jesus, and I thank you for that too, Lord Jesus. And we want to pray for a miracle for her too, Lord, in Jesus' name, amen.
Yeah, Father, I don't know John that well, but I do feel like I know you more just by watching him. And what else could you ask for? So I pray you would encourage him, and that his example would spring us into action, because it's a sign of the Holy Spirit, and that we could, each one of us, catch that fire and run with it and see what it means to move from faith into real action that takes deep sacrifice, that we would all from here go out into our spheres of influence, our areas that we are at work, and pierce the darkness with your spirit and your love. And that he's an example of that. So just send us out using that. Thank you, Father.
Okay, amen.